Just behave yourselves and act like men.
Now you start using your head. That's that love that's 3 feet above your ass.
People will come, Ray.
Alright, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
We don't stink right now.
You play ball like a girl!
You're out of here!
There's no crying in baseball!
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
This is West Coast Bias.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
And we're back. Happy off-season.
Yeah, my better judgment. We are back. And you know what, Tom? Sometimes there is crying in baseball, but it's okay.
No, there's still no crying in baseball. And sorry for the long hiatus. One of us was a little bit too tender in the feels.
I'm not alone. I know you guys don't even want this episode, and I get it. But this is mainly,
we have to acknowledge the end of the season officially.
I don't know. Oh, sure. That was a long time ago. I don't really even remember what happened.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. That means you're starting to move past it.
Past what? Hot stove is heating up.
Yes. Welcome to West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast. I am Samuel Paul.
I am Adam Nelson. Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find us at Facebook at West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast, and Podomatic website too, right?
There we go. I knew there was one.
Is you're out of practice, Adam?
I told you.
I told you we needed to do this little bit of mourning on the air. It helps move past it if you talk about it. I promise you, I won't rub it in much.
What? Talk about what?
Oh, you know, the fact that the Dodgers did not win their second World Series title in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that.
Huh. Well, you know my opinion. You know, the National League pennant, that's the cake. All right.
Yeah, so. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, you keep telling yourself that second place is only first loser.
You're out of here!
Again, the American League, they don't play by the same rules. As soon as they start playing by the same rules, then I'll consider it. But until then, it's all right. But you know what? That's ancient history. I don't even, you know, it's all in the past. It's all in the past. And probably so is Manny Machado, right?
Yeah. As is the Dodgers GM, as it turns out.
Ooh, yeah, that was... I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was still kind of surprised.
I was kind of surprised, too. It was an interesting choice for the Giants and their new president of baseball operations is the former Dodgers GM for the last 4 years. Built a true contender, two-time National League pennant winner, and a couple rookies of the year in there.
Farhan's 80, that's right. And look, it's great for the Giants. I think it's exactly what the Giants needed. They need a little fire under their ass. Yeah. They need to have somebody telling them, basically holding their hands by saying, "Hey, spend some money. You got to do it. Don't just spend it indiscriminately." But you know,
I don't even know if it's necessarily holding their hands, telling them they got to spend the money, as more of someone emotionally unattached to come in and take heads off.
Yeah.
And make some real change, because it is, I became abundantly clear towards the end of the season that the window for the Giants winning the World Series with their current personnel has closed.
Oh, that's been shut for years.
Well, I don't know about years, but at least maybe 1 year, sometime in the middle of the 2017 season, I think it officially closed. But
I would say 2014, and even then, that, you know, but squeaked in. Dodgers, remember, won the division 6 years straight, and Giants didn't really put up much of a fight. Again, last year, you know, they did make some moves, and I was a little bit surprised. Yeah.
They kept trying. They wanted to keep that window open. is they still believed they had a shot. They went for it. They failed. At least they had an overall better season in 2018 than they did in 2017.
Well, that's true. 2017 couldn't have gotten much worse, but, you know.
So, so it's time for them to move on. I'm happy with the move that they have made. We'll see, you know, what happens here. There's certainly a lot of hot stove rumors surrounding.
We don't stink right now.
Madison Bumgarner.
Well, yeah. Are you? Do you believe any of these things?
Who knows?
Are they really, why would they get, you know, bring in Zaidi and then get rid of their best player? I mean, they brought him in to sort of, you know, bring in good players and to eye for talent.
But
unless they know something that we don't know about Bumgarner.
Oh, well, I don't know if it's anything that we know or don't know about him, but he is the Giants' most valuable player with a contract in a contract situation that is favorable for a team. Therefore, it's their trading tip if they really want to get some prospects, get some good positioning in the upcoming drafts. Bumgarner is the person to trade. I mean, there's some other good players that could make great pieces on other teams, but come with pretty heavy contracts that teams might not want to take on.
As a Giants fan, would you be willing to take that risk to do something that, if I were a Giants fan, I would think that I would hope that they would have done that like 4 or 5 years ago, start rebuilding then after they kind of realized, like, you know, they were. The Giants were good in 2014. They were great in the postseason. They were decent in the regular season. And that team just was not built to last. And it seems like they've had 4 or 5 years now to figure that out. It seems a little strange to me. You know?
Yeah, it has been a little bit slow. They were holding on to hope. I would, as a Giants fan, I would definitely be disappointed that Madison Bumgarner was not on the team.
But
he's
that,
a great
is that
pitcher.
Kind
of he's a lot
of
fun to the thing.
Is that what they need?
You know what?
It
might be. It might be in order to get that new blood. Intellectually, I understand it. As a fan, you know, I've had my favorite player ever.
And he's not getting paid that much.
Be driven away.
So you might as well hold on to him. Right. I had to look this up because I didn't believe it, but the Giants have the fourth highest payroll coming into 2019.
They spend a lot of money. They're trying to think, and they have a lot of money buried in contracts that questionable. I'm looking at you, Brandon Belt, and Evan Longoria.
Yeah.
Longo
was one of those things where he's got a lot of experience. He's a great defensive player. Yeah. And hopefully he can refigure out that bat. But I just
he got the ballpark in the head. I think the biggest change that the Giants need to make is more psychological than anything else, and saying that people can hit home runs at AT&T
well,
Park.
Yeah, and he's a righty. I mean, the left field porch isn't that menacing. It's not like it's the Coliseum or anything. You know, AT&T Park to left field. You know,
it's fine.
It's not bad, yeah.
It's fine, and you know, some night games when that fog rolls in and there's that inversion layer, it's hard to hit home runs. The air is heavy and dense, but you know, I think there's visiting teams in 2018. I think hit as much or maybe a little bit more home runs than the Giants did all year. And
I believe well, yeah, when you don't have anybody on your team to hit 20 home runs. Which the Giants did not in an era where seemingly
everyone
20 home runs,
is
yeah,
hitting home
seemingly,
runs.
Yeah, when Ohtani gets like 22 or 23 home
yeah,
runs,
and
limited at bats.
The problem can't be just AT&T Park because
right,
they're not hitting home runs anywhere.
Yeah, and of course Barry was a lefty, and
that's
Barry.
Oh, and that ballpark in many ways was built for him, and the way that Petco Park was built to contain him.
Mm-hmm.
But people still hit home runs at Petco.
Well, especially now, yeah. They've since shortened the dimensions at Petco.
But, sure, but you're still dealing with very similar weather conditions
right.
at night
yeah,
with
definitely
the
still
heavy
a
marine
part.
Layer air.
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah, it seems to me like Giants already spent a lot of money, so I don't really know what they could do. And Bumgarner, they're still getting him pretty cheap. So I don't see him.
I think maybe at this point it would be a mistake to move Bumgarner unless they got something really special for him in return.
Right, and there's Corbin out there on the market. You know, people talking about Sonny Gray even being possibly traded or whatever. You know, there are Charlie Morton still out there. You know, it seems like they might make a move. And but what are the Giants lacking the most, or what do they need the most?
Pitching outfielders,
a pitcher or a bat?
Outfielders,
yeah, a big bat.
They need outfielders.
Yeah,
their outfield all out sucked last year. Now one of the players, Hunter Pence, is no longer going to be with the team. His contract is
up. They're not,
they're not bringing him back next year. So
right.
They definitely need to, they need to upgrade all of their outfield positions. They definitely need at least one, probably two big bats. The health of Buster Posey, of course, is a concern. How he recovers from the hip surgery that he had at the end of the season.
Will he just be a full-time first baseman then?
If they can move Brendan Belt either to another team or to left field permanently.
Ooh.
But Brendan,
can he play left field?
He has.
Does he have some wheels on him?
He has. I mean, he's
pretty, a big boy.
He is a big boy. He does move. He does move pretty quick. He has played some left field, but he's much more of a natural first baseman, and he's a very good defensive first baseman. But he has a hitch in his swing. He's very inconsistent at the plate and injury prone.
Right. Yeah. I'm assuming that's what Zaidi is coming in to do. He's coming in to pull off the Band-Aids.
I think so. Yeah. Someone who I can't call him necessarily heartless, but someone who's emotionally unattached to the team.
Heartless. Yeah. Heartless.
he was a Dodger.
Wow.
But there is a rumor that when he was hired to LA from Oakland, that he kept his 415 number on his cell phone, and his very first major league ball experience was a game that I may have been at. I don't know for certain, but it was at Candlestick Park. It was a Giants Dodgers game, and Kenny Maldonado and Will Clark went back to back in that game. And I think the Giants also ultimately won. So, It's interesting how all these things work, and who knows.
So you're saying Zaidi was a mole planted from the Bay Area,
absolutely,
the Dodgers, to screw the Dodgers out of two World Series.
Exactly.
Got it. Now it makes
that's
sense.
Exactly. That's
now
the, that's
it makes
the conspiracy
sense.
Theory of the day.
Now it makes sense. Did Oakland used to have 415? Or because I know it's 510, but he was too good to live in Oakland. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that. He had a 415. You know how these things work in the age of the cell phone. If you come from, a different area, bring your phone. Right. You don't have to change your phone number because
so
it
he
doesn't
was
matter.
Probably living up
there's
in
no
Marin.
Such thing as long distance phone calls anymore.
Right.
I mean, you still, I believe, have a
Los
Angeles area code on your phone.
Well,
so
more or less, but yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, I that's a sign of my laziness. And, I don't want to go through every account. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, he's back. He's back in the Bay. We'll see what happens. Maybe that's what the Giants need.
Yeah,
a little swift kick in the asshole.
Yeah, we'll some new blood, new fresh blood. And we'll see what happens.
I know you want the outfielder, but there's not a lot of outfielder prospects out there, obviously, besides Harper. But Michael Brantley. I think he's definitely flying severely under the radar. He's one of my favorite players to watch. Obviously, he has health concerns. I've had him on a couple fantasy teams. I love that guy. He's going to hit 300. He's going to get, upwards of 20 home runs or so if he plays enough games. And he doesn't strike out a lot. I mean, the guy's solid, and he's a free agent, I could definitely see him being out there. I mean, even compared to Machado's numbers and Brantley, they're both on the free agent list. Brantley's across the past five seasons, Brantley's hitting 311, 371 OBP, 475 slugging. And Machado, just as a comparison, you know, they're both free agents the last 5 years, hitting 283, 343 OBP, and 25 points over 502 slugging. But they both have the same OPS plus at 127. Brantley could be a steal. He's still out there. He's a lefty, you know, and he doesn't need... he has easy power. You know, he's one of these guys, like when you used to watch like old Chase Utley, just short swing, the ball just disappears, you know.
Short, quick string to the to the ball through the strike zone.
Yeah.
And
a true pro, just a professional batter. I don't want to see him on the Giants.
No.
But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, it would make a lot of sense. Because you're right, their outfield is just piecemealed. You know, I mean, another guy would be Moustakas. I mean, he's probably going to stay in Milwaukee. We'll see, although he's the kind of guy that's been traded around. He's been passed around. He has.
And, you know, as like we discussed, the contract situations for especially the infield makes it hard to move him around anything and bring in a player like Moustakas or Machado because those positions that they play are pretty well stocked or have a unmovable contract.
Well, yeah, the Giants aren't going to get Machado, but hey, you never know. Actually, I do know. You heard it here first. but I don't know. The Astros are looking to try to get JT Realmuto, and he's arguably the best catching free agent right now, although Yasmani Grandal, his numbers are still better. Of course, after the World Series and the postseason in general for Grandal, it's kind of leaving a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. But he's still the best defensive catcher. Pretty sure he's still as... in terms of war per dollars, Yasmani Grandal is leading all of Major League Baseball, which is crazy because he's cheap. And his war is really good. It's decent. But, yeah, JT Realmuto, that would be pretty good for the Giants, too. Again, it looks like... he's probably going to stay in the South somewhere, maybe the Astros, because they're letting Brian McCann and Martin Maldonado hit free agency. So they've been rumored to be picking up on JT, but yeah, it doesn't sound like Buster Posey's going to be catching many more games. And what about who's the Giants catcher? The guy that hates Puig. What's his name? Is that kid's name? Former Rocky.
Hundley.
Yeah, Hundley.
Yeah, Hundley.
Nick Hundley, yeah. What's his control? Is he gonna
That he is listed as a free agent at the moment.
Yeah.
So we don't know if he'll be coming back. It would be great if he did. He was fine backup catcher. You know, the Giants have this this prospect, Joey Bart, that they just drafted that looks very exciting and possibly be the heir apparent to Buster Posey.
Oh, it's catcher.
Catcher.
Got it.
Prospect coming up is just drafted this last year and just lit it up in single A.
Well, it's gonna be a while, though, before we see that.
That's possible, sure. Yeah.
You know, I know you think the Giants need batting, which I know they do, but when you look at the last season and you realize all those one-run games that they lost, you know, wouldn't just a solid starter or even two solid starters could have turned that around?
I don't know if that would have been the difference.
You know?
I
Giants were still putting up runs, but they were putting up three runs when they were getting beat by four, putting up five, they're getting beat by six. I think they had the most one-run losses in baseball last year.
I don't know that the starting pitching was necessarily the problem. I think that it was more of the bullpen and especially the closer position. They couldn't, if they had a lead, they couldn't hold it.
Was that Strickland punching the wall after he blew his like sixth save or something?
That was certainly a big sign of the woes in the Giants bullpen. Sure, but it was, you know, they blew the most saves of anyone in the league. We talked about it at a certain point in September. They had already blown 25 saves,
right?
And you know, so they blew close to 30 saves this year. That's even half. That changes by even half. They do half as well, or half as better.
Yeah. That's terrible. That's really bad. That's right. Like,
they're still blowing 15 saves, but it changes their record and puts them over 500.
Right.
Well, and puts them much closer in contention to challenging the Dodgers for that division.
Now, I know a lot of teams historically didn't like to do interdivision trades, but it seems like nowadays it's not even taboo anymore.
It's more common. It's still rare, but it's more common
because
now.
There is one free agent reliever that's on my mind that would be well suited for the Giants, and that would be he's easily one of the best, probably the best free agent reliever, possibly even including Kimbrel, but Adam Ottavino. I mean, the numbers he's put up in Colorado are insane. I mean, he struck out 22 of the first 34 batters he faced last season, 43 strikeouts in the first 24 innings in Colorado. Imagine if he comes somewhere closer to sea level.
Rockies would be fools to let him go.
No, but the Rockies spent $106 million on three relievers last winter alone. 52 going to Wade Davis, 27 to Jake McGee and Brian
Colorado.
Shaw.
Colorado needs to pay their pitchers
think they,
more.
I know, but I don't think they can afford Ottavino. I think Ottavino's he's gone. He's as good as gone. I don't think they can afford to retain him.
No, maybe not. They'd be fools not to spend that money.
Well, they
on
would,
their pitching
but...
because I mean they need pitchers. They need pitchers who can throw well at altitude. It's possible to throw a curveball at altitude, but it is. Takes much more effort, much more concentration to be able to throw that ball perfectly every time to make it spin and move in that thinner air.
That's what I'm saying, man. I think, I mean, you know, the only person with a higher strikeout percentage than him among free agent relievers is Kimbrel.
I agree. He's definitely a
Ottavino leaves the Rockies. He's not going to be a Rocky next year. So it's going to be
that wouldn't necessarily be a trade though. They're not going to be trading.
No. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, no.
You
not
started,
a trade. Just pick him up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that in a, you know free agents in a division that is far more common than trades in
a
division.
Right.
I mean, you trade away a player you don't necessarily want to see him back the next week in the other uniform.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. Hey, I'm trying to give you options.
Right. No, I appreciate it, but it's not me. I have no decision making power, despite what you know the rumors may have been.
But you may be influential. You know, we do have the number one baseball podcast in the Bay Area, hoping to get LA. LA's a lot bigger, so we're working on that. It's okay. It's all right. Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Send your gripes to Sam, and send your nudie pics to me. All right, what do we got? What else we got? So the Phillies are making a lot of noise. They're basically just saying we're gonna spend a lot of money. We're gonna get Harper, or we're gonna get Machado. I think, or both. Well, I doubt that.
Good for them. Go for it, Phillies.
If the Phillies do get either. I'm much more keen on Machado than Harper, not on any sort of, personal level because he wore blue for a little while, but because he's just the better player and he's the better deal. Because Harper, I don't know, man. He did not make a good claim for himself. He did not.
No, he did not help himself at all in his quest for $400 million, which is what he wants and says that he won't sign for.
Yeah, he's not going to get that.
You asked me the other day if Harper is going to be signed before the end of the calendar year.
Right.
I honestly don't know. I mean, we had a situation last offseason with people asking for less than what Harper is asking for and still basically had to give in once spring training started.
Oh, spring training had well started. It was well in spring training, and a lot of these guys still hadn't been signed yet. And I think we're
going to see more of that. That teams are going to hold out on signing these really big ticket free agents until the last moment, and they relinquish. Okay, I'll take a little bit less.
It is pretty. It's strange. Harper, according to the Washington Post, already rejected a 10-year, $300 million deal from the Nats on the final day of the regular season.
An idiot.
Exactly.
I mean, I would take, unless he really, really, really does not want to be in Washington anymore.
I know.
Why would you turn that down?
Exactly. It's 10 years. I mean, the money aside, I mean, again, it's 100 million, but
what's the difference between 300 and 400 million?
Well,
it's not
again,
as much
there's,
as...
there's a big difference,
it's
but...
Not, there's not as, not as much as from zero to 100
right.
million.
And I think the biggest thing is the 10-year offer, man. I thought we would never see another 10-year offer ever again after, of course, staying. But, you know, especially after last year's offseason... And with JD Martinez, arguably the best American League hitter, and just in terms of, you know, as a DH in the game, and, you know, took weeks into spring training
yeah.
just to get him going. And of course, his wasn't even close to double digit years. It just seems like if you can get that guarantee as a professional athlete, you'd
it seemed like you
to,
would want it
even for 200 mil. I mean, I know it's maybe it's like an ego thing. Or maybe it's going to be a battle of him and Machado, who yields first, I guess, right? But man, Machado is I'm sorry, Harper's defense though is terrible, and I've been saying this for years because I've had Scherzer and Gio. I've had some pitchers for the Nationals in my fantasy teams the last couple of years. Strasburg, of course, this year. Thanks a lot, Steven, you asshole. I watched a lot of Nationals games. And I've never been so pissed at an outfielder in my life from just, you know, running up short on the ball, slipping, throwing to the wrong. I mean, he's terrible. I'm sorry, but Harper is bad. And so I had to actually look it up because I do complain a lot and I don't about his defense. And I didn't really have any stats to back it up. But indeed, Harper had by far the worst defensive season of his career this last season. And he cost the Nationals 26 runs with his defense,
wow.
or lack thereof, in 2018. Yeah, he was pulling up on balls in front of him more than any time in the past season. He failed to reach a good number of the balls, hit over his head. That's I saw that a lot, just misjudging balls and going over or touching the ball and getting past you. Because if you touch the ball, it's an error, which is good, but usually he wouldn't even touch it. It's good if you have the pitcher, obviously, you know, then the run isn't earned. But yeah, his arm went from decent... to among the worst in the game. His arm, he recorded one assist without the help of a cutoff man, something he did seven times in 2017. But fewest defensive run saves by 2018 outfielders, Charlie Blackmon with 28. That's pretty bad, too. But Harper,
but
26.
Blackmon had a arguably better offensive year this year than Harper did
definitely.
As well.
Definitely.
Which is why I say... Harper did himself no favors in getting that contract that he says that he wants.
Exactly.
And plus, want that contract, you gotta play your heart out.
Yeah.
You gotta
on both sides of the
you gotta put it on the line. You gotta produce. You gotta make those catches that other people wouldn't otherwise get.
It's true. You know, we saw Manny have a similar issue moving from third base to shortstop, and yeah, his defense was not nearly the same as it was when he's a third baseman, but he still wasn't as bad as Harper was in the outfield. Not even close.
And it reminds me, what comes to my mind is baseball movie, Little Big League. The question was asked, so tell me, what exactly is the going rate for an aging shortstop that can't get anyone out?
Exactly. Although Machado does have the, I think he has the strongest average velocity, basically the strongest arm of any,
Machado,
of any infielder in the game. I think it's like 89 miles.
There's
an
no
hour.
Denying that Machado is a great player. I mean, he was on my fantasy team this year and was definitely the best player that I had on my team.
Oh yeah.
And
but in a league that we do count errors as a negative stat, you would have been much better off with him at third base than with him at shortstop. I mean, that just goes with the position. Shortstops are going to make more errors as it is. But, I mean, in 2013, his first full MLB season, he had a defensive run save of plus 35, the highest single season mark since 2003 at that position. And his between 2014 and 2017, he had plus 39 defensive run saves at third base, ranked third in MLB behind only Arenado and Beltre, who are two of the best in the game as well. And also his ultimate zone rating is UZR plus 23. But then when he moves over to shortstop, He's at, what is he at? Negative 18 defensive run saves, negative 18. So, I mean, wow. That's a huge differential.
Yeah, it is.
To his credit, though, after he came to L.A., he was plus 5 and then plus 0.8 according to UZR ratings, whatever. But so he was getting better, and obviously he was. This was his first full season as a shortstop. So
does take practice.
Yeah.
And it seemed like he had a pretty fluid he plays very smooth, very fluid.
He's
soft hands. And he looked pretty natural there. I think with a little bit of another season under his belt, he'll look like one of the better shortstops in the game.
Yeah.
Some of his moves are a little bit reminiscent of Omar Vizquel.
Mm.
I'm not going to say that he's nearly as good as Omar because no one is. But, you know, some of the way that he moved strong throws, that looked, he looked really good in a lot of plays.
Free and easy, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, so the two teams that are probably making the biggest waves that might be getting Machado would probably be the Yankees or the Phillies, right? Obviously, the Yankees, he would be able to still play shortstop because Didi has his Tommy John surgery, right? And he's not going to be able to start the season. There's no way. He might be coming in middle of the season, but, you know, maybe just as like a DH. Or then again, right. Even DH Manny even too, you know. But then and also in Phillies, he could stay at shortstop ahead of like Scott Kingery and J.P. Crawford. I think he'd be fine there as well. So he might be able to stay at shortstop. Again, not the best for fantasy if you count errors, but, you know.
Well, who knows? Next year may be different.
Well, that's true. You know, he's got a full year under his belt.
And if he knows he's going to be starting the year at shortstop, he'll have another full training, spring training at shortstop as well.
That's
so
true.
All those reps, all those looks, no, always make things a little bit easier.
Yeah. John Middleton, the owner of the Phillies, says, quote, "We're going into this expecting to spend money and maybe even be a little bit stupid about it." When the owner says that,
wow.
You know they're going to get one of them. They're going to get one of them for sure. And I'm sure playing in Philly is probably pretty cool. You know, it's seems like
as long as you do well, those Philly fans can be pretty brutal.
Right. Well, they're doing good. You know, they were doing season.
They were contending until late into the pennant race. So
yeah, it's the Phillies currently have less than $70 million on their payroll for 2019, and only about $50 million committed for 2020, and 15.15 for 2021.
Yeah, so they've got a lot of money to spend.
Yeah, they can afford to make a major play. Yeah. That's for sure. But, you know, there's also Patrick Corbin and Craig Kimbrell out there. So
yeah, not to mention Nathan Eovaldi.
Is Eovaldi
a free agent this year, too.
Oh. Yeah, I haven't really been
hearing him. He earned himself a pretty good paycheck.
But after...
In the last few postseason games of the year.
Well, yeah, but I'm pretty sure Alex... See, I've already tried to put this whole series out of my brain. I've done a pretty good job. Alex Cora, I'm pretty sure... did some permanent damage to Nate Eovaldi's career with that full back-to-back-to-back starts, or not starts, but appearances, and then his last appearance was basically a full six, seven inning start.
High pressure. He let it all on the line. It was such a gutsy performance.
That's not just a 6-7 inning start the game. Okay. If I give up the lead, it's no big deal. No, if you give up the lead, you lose the game.
Like, yeah, the entire game.
Yeah.
For the equivalent of a 9-inning start.
Game, yeah.
It was,
and 0 days rest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pitch every game. It's insane.
It's pretty amazing. He has the entire offseason to rest that arm. I would be
very wary to pick him up. Honestly, that can't be good. That's one of those things where like you might look back in your career and be like, oh, yeah, that was the moment Alex Cora fucked me. At least he got a ring. So screw it. You know, I mean, whatever.
And he'll probably get a paycheck whether or not he performs well the last next couple of years, but I don't think that it was necessarily as harmful as you do.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I was scared for him, honestly. But anyway, you know, right?
You know, what are you gonna do? Is either that or bring in a position player?
Well, hey, it seemed to work out for them. Anyway, I'm not going back in history. Hey, we have a. The end of an era.
The end of an era.
The end of the wins matter as a pitcher era.
Oh, yes.
Thank God. And good. Good riddance, you know? Obviously, I mean, by that I mean Jacob DeGrom winning the Cy Young, which is win over 500.
But it's also,
As he should have.
You know, if you're the best pitcher in the league, it should not matter whether or not you're on a bad average or great team.
Well, it's true. But that has not really been the consensus opinion, really, until recently.
No, I get it. But also, until pretty recently, also, pitchers were more often going a lot deeper into games and had much more of a determining factor on the
outcome of the game. That's true. In fact,
you leave in the fifth, sixth inning ahead 2-0, and your team doesn't score any more runs. You're no longer in the lineup in the NL, and so you can't do anything there necessarily, and you're no longer on the mound, so you can't control how the other team does.
I agree. It's been like this for a while. It just seems like now it's finally more or less the consensus.
The Baseball Writers Association has finally realized that these players are just going past the minimum of what it takes to qualify for a win. And there is still a lot of baseball played after they're out of the game.
Yeah. No,
so let's look at the ERA. Let's look at that WHIP. Let's look at the strikeouts per nine innings. What is the dominance of this pitcher, not as measured by the actual breakdown stats rather than the outcome of the games that they pitched in?
Because it is still a part of the so-called Triple Crown, and that will never go away, though. See, that's the thing. And so I think some baseball writers have to consider that, or at least I think they had to in the past, maybe. Whereas now it's more accepted. And like you said, so I actually have the numbers right here. In 1978, the average starter went 6.5 innings. Okay. 1998, the average starter went about 6 innings. 2018, the average starter went 5 1/3. Average. So yeah, you're right. The average starter is barely even qualifying for the win. But you know, it's there's a good example in 96. Right? In 1996, Roger Clemens led the American League in strikeouts and strikeouts per nine inning. He finished second in the league in hits per nine, FIP, and was among the league leaders in innings pitched. Complete games, also WHIP, shutouts, strikeout-to-walk ratio, homers per nine, and basically every other possible stat.
Category. Yeah,
you could. He finished second in the American League in baseball and pitcher war at 7.7. And led the American League in the Fangraphs war at 6.8. Anyway, he didn't win the Cy Young that year. In fact, he didn't even get a single Cy Young vote that year. Why? Oh yeah, because he was 10-13. But he was easily the most dominant pitcher that year.
Who did win that year?
Pat Henkin.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's crazy though. But that's the thing, and that wasn't even that long ago, right? Yeah. That was barely 20 years.
And we're talking about a player that ultimately should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, he won three more Cy Youngs after that. After they traded him, right? Red Sox traded him that year, and then he ends up just killing it. Obviously, of course, that might have been upended by because of the PED usage, whatever.
It's possible. It certainly falls in that era.
But let us not forget that in 96, though, also, that was the same year he got the 20 strikeout game for the second time in his career. It's unreal. So I'm right. Whatever. Maybe he doesn't win the Cy Young, even though in today's day, he'd be probably unanimous.
Probably.
The fact that he didn't even get one vote, and that was only 20 years ago, he didn't even get one vote. It's insane. It's just crazy, So anyway,
and
Blake Snell won as well this year with 21 wins, and that was probably a huge part of it, except for his ERA was stupid as well especially for the American League, and he deserved it, wholeheartedly, definitely deserved it, but he did average less than 6 innings per start, And he didn't even come close to completing a game this year. His longest outing of the season was 7 1/3 innings. So the bullpen pitched a third of the innings in his 21 wins. So again, even when you right. have a lot of wins, it's sort of like, well, you know, I don't know. I still think Snell definitely should have won when you get a sub-2. He had a sub-2 ERA, right, in the American League?
Yeah, 1.89.
Yeah, 1.89 in the American League.
Over 180.2 innings.
Right, and that's another thing, you know, only 180, okay, that's fine, but you still compiled the wins, and see, but the wins had to have been a factor in that in this situation, so we're not completely out of it, but I think it's, we're at a good point where we can justify rewarding them.
Certainly win-loss records can still be a factor in terms of getting a pitcher notice. Oh, look at this pitcher. He has this record. Let's look at the rest of his numbers. How dominant is he really? Is he really that good, or is he being buoyed up by a high run-producing team or a dominant bullpen? In this case, I believe it was the bullpen. The Rays did win quite a few games, and any normal year would have been contenders.
Right.
They were this year behind, of course, the Yankees and the Red Sox, who are both north of 100 wins this season. So that makes it a little bit tough. But they didn't make a lot of noise offensively. But with a sub-2 ERA for your primary starter, you might not need to score too many runs, at least in 31 games.
It's pretty darn good. But again, yeah, as you're saying, he did have a lot of support. And his bullpen did help a lot.
That's what, you know, baseball is a team game played by individuals. We look at individual stats, individual performance, but everyone's got to do their part to contribute to the win. It's not all going to be, one person that's going to affect the outcome of the game.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's good. So I think that's a positive thing. I think the Cy Youngs this year, not unlike the MVPs this year, were sort of in the bag. I don't think there was much debate this year, as in some other years there might have been. Who knows? Had Chris Sale been healthy the entire season, he might have had a strong case as well. But alas, he wasn't, because his arm is made of toothpicks, and you know, he never does that good down the stretch. But as you pointed out earlier, he had the first pitch in the World Series and the last pitch in the World Series. So, you know, he's still good for something. But just really quick, we'll go across, obviously, American League MVP Mookie Betts. I mean, just the 47 doubles alone. I know, you know, the hitting 346 and, you know, over 30 home runs. He only had 80 RBIs, but he had 30 stolen bases. I mean, he's a leadoff guy. So
he had a year for the
47
ages.
47 doubles, man.
He had a year for the ages, and I'll give you a little preview. He is involved in our trivia question today.
A little foreshadowing.
He had a year for the ages. I mean, he Mookie Betts had, you know.
He's Mookie. He should have won 3 years ago, or 2 years ago,
He is Mookie. You know what helped him this year, too, is that he had support.
Right.
He had someone hitting behind him, J.D. Martinez, that...
he's a leadoff guy, you know. So he's getting tough pitches. It's not like they're trying to pitch around him or anything like that. You know, and that's another really good reason, another good case for him, right? Like, it's not Jeff Kent hitting by like Barry Bonds or whatever, or vice versa.
Rich Aurelia, yeah.
Yeah,
Rich Aurelia, giant shortstop during those years.
He was
really buoyed by those two guys hitting behind him.
Yeah,
and he had himself a hell of a year.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of strikes.
They didn't. let's try to get Rich Aurelia instead of Barry Bonds, and it didn't always work. He had himself a year. It was a great year.
I'd rather attack him. Yeah, exactly. Of course, unsurprisingly, Christian Yelich. Winning the NL MVP, which is great too. You know, I like seeing Yelich, because he's kind of like a young Joey Votto in a sense. I feel like, you know, he chokes up on two strike counts. He even changes his batting stance. You know, he's a great player all around. He's the most valuable player. I mean, he was the linchpin in that team.
He was, and he did great all year. And
for the postseason, but you know,
of course, that brings us to our. Ignoble Award of the Week.
The Ignoble Award of the Week.
It There we go. There's a sound effect.
All right, sorry. Already? Christian Yelich? No. How
Christian
dare you?
Yelich, no. Christian Yelich did not win the Nobel thing.
Okay.
No, but we'd like to acknowledge at this point the Miami Marlins. Miami Marlins. For trading away the MVP in two consecutive seasons.
Is that a record? That has to be a record.
I probably.
Well, that's why. Yeah, it's the Ignoble Award of the week. That's the Ignoble Award of the year. I think
it definitely qualifies.
That's true, man.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Right, Mike Stanton. Sure.
And then Mike.
Yeah. And
Christian Yelich in consecutive years.
Brutal. I didn't even think about that. That's insane. Oh yeah, but you know. They are getting new uniforms, so everything's looking rosy.
Oh yeah, yeah. Their new logo looks like some sort of weird hybrid of their last two logos with a little bit different colors.
It's so ridiculous. It's better. It is better. I will admit, it does have that stupid fish, but it's at least black.
The fish is back with the M. It's mostly black. It's got
Some teal, neon teal.
Yeah, throwback outline to their original uniforms. Yeah,
really, really kind of strange. But you know, what are you gonna do?
And he said something.
Goddamn disgrace!
What?
Speaking of disgraces,
yeah.
In center field.
Miami. If anything, they're gaining some points. Because in case you had not heard, yes, they are getting rid of that eyesore monstrosity. I'm doing air quotes artwork out in center field. They're getting rid of it, or at least they're putting it in front of the stadium. I think that's what they
putting
said.
Putting it outside.
They're putting it in front. Yeah,
that was expensive just to totally scrap it. But outside, it's less
should
of a distraction.
Put it out in the desert just outside of Vegas, where all those old.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. It would fit in. Somewhere on Flamingo Avenue or something.
Right? Yeah, it really would. It's it's basically the worst possible Ed Hardy designed. It's just it looks like a joke, but yeah, you're right. It could not have been cheap. That thing is gigantic, and it's got moving pieces.
Oh yeah,
you would almost not want to hit a home run there if you're on the home team, because you just don't want to see that stupid fish go up and down, which looks more like a dolphin to me.
That's why Mike Stanton hit it so many times with just bombs out to center field.
We saw, of course, Christian Yelich's power stroke increase when he went to Milwaukee. Obviously, that's a hitter's part. But what is it? I don't know. Maybe he just didn't want to see it. He's like, I'm satisfied with the double. I don't
need to hear that crazy song and those lights coming from
the spinning
sculpture. I think it played music. I don't know. It was,
of course it did.
It was pretty ripped on by about everyone.
Yeah.
So.
I'm sure. That's good for them. So, good for you, Jeter. Finally, you're not doing much, but it's okay.
We'll see. The tear down is still going on.
Oh, my God.
The new uniforms usher in the new era.
Well, you know, they probably changed more than anybody else that I could think of. Maybe the Diamondbacks have changed a lot. But I feel like they've had that red thing for a while. But then actually this year they were starting to wear the old school purple again, which I kind of liked, you know.
Yeah, they had a throwback couple days.
Throwback to the last, two decades ago, whatever. But anyway, hey, good for them, right? It's okay. I was happy to see Manager of the Year. And Manager of the Year is always how do you vote for that? I mean, it doesn't really make sense. Because really, the two teams that win the pennant, that manager should win, right? I mean, they won the pennant. That's you manage that team. Anyway, I know that that's not how it works, but I don't know actually how it works.
It is an interesting question about how you would go about picking the manager of the year.
Right.
I mean, as it was, in 06, Joe Girardi, then manager of the Marlins.
Huh. Forgot about that.
He had a finished the year with a 78-84 record.
He won Manager of the Year?
He won Manager of the Year after he was fired by the Marlins, and then he won the award.
What the
hell? He was a 78-84, fired immediately after the season, and won Manager of the Year. So
congratulations. Hell of a season, you're fired. Well, anyway, I was just happy to see this year the American League. Bob Melvin won.
Bob Melvin won, which is great. Very appropriate because the A's had an incredible year, an incredible run, made the postseason. No one expected them to.
No one
finish
nobody
with even a above 500 record, right. Let alone
over 90.
Yeah,
yeah. He is the eighth manager to earn Manager of the Year at least three times. And despite, you know, a bunch of injuries to the 97 win team. Yeah, 97 wins.
97,
man.
Yeah. And they contended for that AL division, AL West division as well.
Yeah, guiding the club with the sport's lowest opening day payroll to the postseason. Yeah. First team on record to achieve that financial feat. I think that's probably why he did it. That's why he gets it. Yeah. Even though Alex Cora obviously has a strong case, his first season, the first time this has ever happened.
Well, yeah, right? But he had Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez.
Exactly.
And Chris Sale and Price. And you know.
But see, if I was Alex Cora, I'd be like, hey, screw all you guys. This is my first year and I won it all, so what the hell? But you're right, you know, just because I have good players on my team. But yeah, no, it's true because that is Bob Melvin managed the shit out of the A's.
Yeah,
he looked great.
Hey,
at one point,
all his opening day starting pitchers, all five of them, did not finish the year.
Yeah,
it's pretty remarkable. It was a good piece of managing. There's no doubt.
You got that right. And then Brian Snitker of the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, well, he did a great job taking a lot of young team into the playoffs. Got beat by the better team, and there's no shame in that. But hell of a run, and they should be good for at least the next few years.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was only him and Bobby Cox have ever won that award as a manager of the Braves.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. I figured, you know, but I guess Bobby Cox was there for most of the. Or all of the good years there, at least.
Yeah, well, certainly the golden era of Braves baseball, for sure.
Right.
And Braves have won one World Series in every city that they've played in.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, Boston, Milwaukee, and Atlanta. Hmm. Only one in each place. Probably should have won more in during the 1990s, but
well, I
they
think
didn't.
They have a strong future.
Their future is bright. They are on the ups. They've got a lot of really good young players. And, look for them to fire the Phillies up and to making them spend some stupid money.
Right. And when you are the first player since Babe Ruth with 10 pitching appearances and 20 home runs in a season, chances are, and you're a rookie, chances are you're going to win Rookie of the Year. And that's exactly what Shohei Ohtani did this year. And that's really cool.
He did. And he was up against some pretty serious contenders in the American League.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, Shohei Ohtani. Hope your elbow heals well. And
What I didn't realize in his only 367 plate appearances, which, you know, he still had 22 home runs, which is insane, that he also had 10 stolen bases. That's a great sign. I mean, imagine if he's playing more. Imagine if he's playing even healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 stolen bases.
If he goes full-time DH.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's got a bright future. He had a 925 OPS. That's, again, especially for a guy that's not hitting every day. I mean, of course, the last month or so of the season he was hitting regularly. But
right, because he stopped pitching because of the elbow.
Crazy how he got Tommy John surgery immediately after the season, right? Which meant that he needed it for at least the last 3-4 months or possibly the whole year of this season and still goes out there and hits. I know it's the opposite direction of your elbow, but still, I mean, when a ligament is completely ripped off your elbow and you're still hitting bombs, it's pretty insane. Or at least partially torn, whatever, you know.
Yeah. Well, it just goes to show it's all in the wrist.
Well, is that it? I'm
going
to be a pro then. And, of course, Acuna Jr., the team leading 26 home runs, 16 steals, 552 slugging. Looking good. I mean, the guy's insane.
Yeah.
He's so good that he got beaned
thrown
for
at. Yeah.
But it was funny to see Urania, right? That was the guy who beaned him after he hit like four bombs in a row. he did great after that.
Yeah.
His numbers were insane after that. It was pretty funny. Some guys just need to be angry.
Proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was actually throwing at him. It was no accident.
100%. And that guy throws gas, too. Rats off to Yadi. Yadi Molina getting the Roberto Clemente Award. Yeah. That's pretty cool. And, the Hank Aaron Awards, too, which is always a good one. Of course, J.D. Martinez got that one for the American League, as he should. And the guy got 130 ribbies, 358 total bases. I mean, it's just insane. Obviously, over 40 home runs. And Yelich getting the Hank Aaron Award as well. And, I guess that's about it. But, Billy Bean. Sorry, Billy Bean gets the MLB Exec of the Year as well. So,
yeah, once again, having to do with that low payroll making the playoffs.
Billy Bean being Beanie, doing his thing. Yeah, that's how it goes. And,
if that guy ever actually gets a payroll to build a team, the A's would be scary.
Yeah. But Madison Bumgarner did not get the Silver Slugger Award this year.
No. And Clayton Kershaw, for the first time in 8 years, did not receive a single Cy Young vote.
Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah, well, I mean, makes sense. But
he didn't have a great year, but...
he had a great year compared to the average or anybody else, but he didn't have
but
a full
to
year.
Not, but to not get a single Cy Young vote is...
he's out for, different. Yeah, he's out for a long time. Anyway, but yeah, that is pretty strange. Not unlike Roger Clemens not getting a single Cy Young vote, leading the entire league at WAR and strikeouts and caper night. Anyway, Zach Greinke, though, I'm pretty sure he got it. What is his fourth straight Golden Glove? Might have been his fifth. He's killing it. And again, kind of maybe not a free agent, but there's been rumblings from the Arizona Diamondbacks club of possible trades. I mean, I know that they're not even rumors yet. There are just still rumblings, but possibly him and Goldschmidt. Yeah.
Goldschmidt being out of, and Greinke both being out of the NL West.
That'd be great. For NL West fans, obviously, but
that aren't actively rooting for the Arizona Diamondbacks anyway.
Man, Goldie is good,
but Goldie, I think, is be a similar situation for the Diamondbacks as Bumgarner is for the Giants. I mean, he's their best player,
yeah,
and feared by all the opponents.
I don't know. I mean, Corbin arguably had a better year, and Robbie Ray has the potential in him. He didn't have a great year this year.
Than Greinke. I'm talking about Goldschmidt.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's, yeah. Yeah, oh, that's true. Yeah, because he's not... He'll be a free Goldschmidt...
Still under club control.
Until 2019, right? Yeah. Yeah, he's getting paid peanuts. Probably like Bumgarner to an extent, right?
But, I mean, yeah. And so that would be something they can move for prospects.
Yeah, and Houston. There we go. Houston Astros are
need a first baseman.
Well, they have Gurriel, but Gurriel could play any base, and so yeah, they kind of do need a first baseman, and that would be a pretty huge boon for them.
Oh yeah, and make an immediate impact.
Yeah. And if the Diamondbacks are looking to do something, because, they made a wild card appearance 2 years ago, but then this year...
They kind of faded.
Yeah, not so much. Yeah, exactly. Look, Greinke still owed $104.5 million and 2021.
He's going to be tough to move.
Yeah.
If it is a package deal, that would make sense. So here, take Greinke's contract. Oh, and we'll throw in... Goldschmidt?
No, there's no way. Yeah, no way. I would take that over Harper and Machado any day. Are you kidding? I mean, yeah, I Goldschmidt, in my opinion, is better than either of those two guys anyway. So, I don't know. Anyway, he's certainly more consistent. And he's a big guy that is a solid first baseman that could also steal bases, Anyway, that's one other quick thing, though, is Joe Mauer finally hanging him up.
Yes.
So his last appearance in the last game of the season as a catcher, that was it.
He had a great career. Is he a Hall of Famer? In 5 years, do we see him in Cooperstown?
Definitely get some votes. Yeah, I mean, look, he won an MVP in 2009. He had
and he did well in two positions as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he won the AL batting title 3 times, the only AL catcher to ever win it at all, and the first catcher in either league to do it more than twice. So definitely, I mean, certainly in Minnesota, but all time, yeah, you can make a case. You can make a case. He obviously wasn't, he played 15 seasons. That's not nothing, but, you know, the last 4 or 5 weren't full seasons, you know. I could definitely see him coming back as a manager, though. You know.
Oh, well, yeah, sure. He's got the catcher mentality. A lot of the greatest managers, certainly in the most recent era, have been catchers.
And Maurer could have kept playing, you know, but he was quoted as saying that the decision came down to my health and my family. The risk of concussion is always there. And I was reminded of that this season after missing over 30 games as the result of diving for a foul ball. So, you know, it's smart, you know, nowadays...
15 years is a good run, there's no doubt.
It's a hell of a run, yeah. And again, MVP, winning the batting title, I mean, a few times, you know. He was solid, man. He was on the cover of the baseball games back then, you know.
Oh,
he was
for sure. No, he was a big deal. We would definitely be remiss in not mentioning a passing of two important members of the Giants community. Of course, the big name being big number 44, Stretch, Hall of Famer Willie McCovey.
That's right.
Dying on Halloween, October 31st. Regarded as, for a long time, the second best left-handed hitter of all time. Now, arguably, probably like the third. And, 521 career home runs.
Not too shabby.
Most career grand slams by any player.
Most career grand slams by any player? Really? I did not know that.
A feared hitter. And, you know, every time I think of McCovey, wow. I have to think of the classic Peanuts cartoon with Charlie Brown crying on the mound, why couldn't McCovey hit that ball 1 foot higher? Giants would have won the 1962 World Series. There's that great catch made by the Yankees second baseman, and that was it, with Willie Mays on third base.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda, I guess.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Had to wait another 50 years.
You know, rest in peace, Willie McCovey.
Yeah,
will
and
be
you know,
missed.
It was pretty cool, because that game that you forced me to, which I'm glad that I went to now, which I broke the curse on, yeah. And I, you know, I'm gonna give the credit to Willie, because he was there, and they were giving out the Willie
Mack Award, right. the most inspirational player of on the Giants, voted on by the players and members of the organization.
Yeah. That was really cool, man. We saw him mere weeks before he died, and as you were saying, it was probably his last public appearance.
It really was. Yeah. He died, just a few less than a month.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel fortunate to have been there and to see him, and I was also in that same stadium for Vin Scully's last game as well, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, but Vin Scully's not dead yet.
No.
It's a different sort of, I mean, Vin Scully is still appearing in public, so.
Yeah, and he had a T-Mobile commercial that was destroying me during the entire postseason, man. It was like the floods and all that, but it was, I don't know if it's because I watch it through like streaming, right, on my TV. I'm not watching it on an actual TV, but I still see commercials, but it's the same commercials, you know, every single time.
Yeah.
And the first time I was like, oh man, it was like a warm blanket. I heard Vin's voice. Right. And even though it was for a fucking cell phone commercial, it was just, he's reciting a poem and it's great. And I was just like, oh man, this is great.
Casey at the bat, right?
No. It wasn't. You know, for every storm a rainbow, blah blah blah. Anyway, but then after like the 10th or 12th time, I was just like, all right, now I'm starting to get depressed, because now this is just like God damn it, Vin, come back. And then I have to immediately go into Joe Buck and John Smoltz and just irate. So I had to just mute it. Like, I felt so bad muting Vin. But I had to, because just my emotions, I was in way too vulnerable of a state during those last couple of weeks. And but anyway, you're right. He's still out there. He's still doing stuff.
Right.
And, you know, I'm still trying to become part of that family somehow. I'm going to figure it out. Yeah. I'm going to figure it out.
Well, you know, ultimately you have the voice to get there. Keep doing it.
No, I mean part of Vin's family. You know, I want to marry one of his family. Daughters.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying now. Not being part of the Dodgers broadcast family.
Well, I mean, you know, that would be ideal as well. You know, Jaime Herrin has to retire at some time, and I got to get better at Spanish, but possibly there's an end for me. You know,
so yeah, not nearly as well known as Vin Scully,
right?
But
neither was Joe Davis, right?
The second. Death in the Giants family was a longtime broadcaster, Hank Greenwald. He was the broadcaster through the 80s and early 90s, the voice that I grew up listening to Giants games in my young baseball life. He was a great storyteller, and he missed. Died on October 22nd. At age of, I guess, 83, he broadcast a lot of baseball games and a lot of baseball memories with his voice behind it.
He had a hell of a run. Yeah.
He did.
The voice of your childhood then, essentially.
Right? Essentially, yes.
Yeah, very cool.
Part of my real love for baseball, my favorite things, he would always, whenever the Giants would play, especially in Montreal, he'd bring up the Alou brothers. Of course, he'd be naming them. You know, Felipe, of course, was the manager of the Expos at the time. And bring him Matty and Moises, who was an active player at the time as well, or young. And also, you know, the lesser known of the Alou's, Boog.
Boogaloo? Is that okay? I see what you did there.
Yeah, it was like every time that the Giants would play the Expos, he'd throw in that joke, boogaloo. Okay, how to say it? So it was really, really fun to listen. It was always be a laugh.
Very good.
And even the darkest of Giants games during the 80s.
Sure. Very, very dark, very lean times for the Giants.
So sometime until the end, until 87, 89, and then of course 93, which was his last year as the Giants broadcaster.
And then John Miller, or?
Well, John Miller joined not right away after, but a few years after. They struggled to find a replacement, and they finally brought in John Miller, who also listened to a lot of Hank Greenwald.
Of course,
living in the Bay Area.
All right, and that brings us to, I can't even say last week's trivia question, but
last episode.
Yeah. Please remind me, what was the last episode's trivia question?
Well,
World Series related.
It was World Series related. It was related to the same two teams that just played in the most recent World Series. The Dodgers and the Red Sox. The last time that they played together, those two franchises, was when? And for bonus points, what was the outcome of that best of seven series?
Alrighty, we got Spaniel Radcliffe says...
Spaniel?
I don't know. Says 1912. I don't think that's
1912.
Right.
No,
it's
1912.
Close though, right? Yeah, no, that's not right.
No, not 1912.
1912 was Red Sox Giants.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So almost.
I'm assuming
not
the Red
quite.
Sox won that year too, because the Red Sox were insanely good before the curse.
They were.
Yeah. They. They won 4-3 with one tie, apparently, which is a bygone
unusual.
Era in baseball.
But yeah, but you know, back in the era where there was no lights to play under,
sure.
It's possible that it ended in a tie because they just couldn't see.
And were they playing best of nine still back then, or were they already doing seven? I think they were doing seven, right?
I think There were some that were seven games. There was one that was there was a few that were five games, but most of them were seven games.
It was already standardized by then. Yeah. All right. Sorry, Spaniel. No dice. But come on, this is an easy one, actually. Okay, so Matilda M.
If you watched the World Series, right. You probably saw this trivia question answered for you by Joe Buck. I don't know if you were listening to it.
Oh, God. Well, I think we all try not to. But yeah, Matilda M. in Redwood City says, come on, guys, that's an easy one. 1916.
1916, that is absolutely
ding,
correct.
Ding,
102
ding,
years
ding,
in the
ding.
Making.
Ding, 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 ding. Hey, we got another winner. All right.
Number two.
Nicely done. Nicely done, Matilda. Come on by.
We'll claim your prize.
We'll email you. I hope this is your proper email anyway. But she didn't have the bonus, though.
She didn't have the bonus. Did anyone get the bonus? Did you get the bonus?
I would. I'm pretty sure it was 4-1, just like this one was.
It was, in fact, exactly.
God damn it. Again, I'm going to put this all out of my memory, and shall we never speak of this ever again?
No, we'll speak of it again. like I said, I won't rub it in much.
Moving on. Congratulations, Matilda. Hey, that's two women in a row that have won, right?
That's great. We love... baseball fans.
Spread the love. Tell your friends.
Absolutely.
All right, what do you got for me this week?
So this week, as I foreshadowed earlier, involves the amazing season of Mookie Betts of the Boston Red Sox this year. Became the first American League player and second player overall to have won the World Series, earned the MVP, Silver Slugger, and Golden Glove Awards in the same season.
And bowl of 300.
Well, that might be unique to Mookie
never
Betts,
be
but
certainly unique to Mookie.
I haven't heard any news about how the answer to this trivia question was at bowling. Maybe we'll research
bowling
by the next
episode. Okay. Right.
So who was the only other...
It's happened before?
It has happened once before.
Ooh,
in the National League.
I have an idea.
In the National League, a player did win the World Series, earn the MVP, the Silver Slugger, and the Golden Glove in the same season.
Wow. All right. Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com.
You can post a comment, answer our questions at Facebook. The West Coast Bias Baseball.
Podomatic website, iTunes, you know the drill. Let us know. Hit us up. Give us an answer. Win some free beer. The chicken's all gone. It's not that hot anymore in this Hotbox studio. We're all being smoked out by the environment, but I'm sure this time next week, or I hope this time next week, I'll be able to open the windows once again. But,
yeah,
the
air quality is bad because of the tragic fire in Northern California. There's also, I want to send our thoughts also to the victims of the fire down in Southern California as well.
All throughout California, exactly.
Yeah, California is burning. Bring the rains, please. There's no more baseball to rain out here, so we need the water.
On that note, I am Adam Nelson.
And I'm Samuel Paul. This is West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast. And remember, baseball is life. The rest is just details.
Go watch some Japanese baseball.